All right, if I could have your attention, our next presenter was an idea that came to us from our discussions during some of the board meetings, but also from visiting my 40-plus facilities I saw this spring and looking at the need for this. So it's a hot topic right now, and I did some research and found Laura's company and looked at her resume, which please take a second to look at that. She has her MBA. She got her undergraduate at Stanford. Very impressive company and person, so I think you're going to enjoy her presentation. Please ask questions. She does have a colleague here. He's going to can take some of the questions when she finishes, but I think you'll find this very interesting. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. As Jim mentioned, I'm Lauren Elmore and president of Firmatech. Excited to be here with you guys today. We're talking about drones and 3D mapping for inventory control. Just briefly go over our agenda. I'm going to give my background and a little bit about Dustin, who's here with me. We're going to start with understanding inventory and some basic principles for measuring inventory, and then some different technologies that we could use to measure the inventories, go through a case study on some drone solutions that we've been providing, and then we'll wrap it up and have time for questions. So I'm president of Firmatech. I've been there for 2 years. I have a background in law and finance, and have now surrounded myself with a team of people such as Dustin, who have a lot of experience in the industry. Dustin is formerly the owner of Petro Measurements, which did a lot of laser measuring in the southeast, mostly for the aggregate industry, and has almost 10 years experience measuring stockpiles. So great industry expert here with us. Roger Sterry is not here today, but he's been in the company and measuring stockpiles since the 80s. Brief overview of Firmatech. Firmatech was founded in the 80s and pioneered the use of lasers to measure stockpiles. And since that time, we have continued to progress with new technologies. So from your handheld lasers to mobile LiDAR units, which we'll also talk about today, to create 3D mapping, and then now with drones. We provide a variety of data solutions in addition to the stockpile measurements. That's definitely our strong suit and kind of our bread and butter of measuring, but we also do a lot of mapping as well for mines and landfills. We've grown from 2 people in San Antonio in the late 80s to over 30 people today around the country with offices, about 6 offices. So now I'm going to get into understanding your inventories. One of the most important and basic principles is what you use as the base to measure from. So there's 2 schools of thought. One is that you could use a fixed elevation. So that's kind of that blue line down there on the slide. Or you could use the natural grade, so the toe of the pile. And the toe of the pile or the natural grade is just the area that you drive on, and the loaders load from, and kind of the area that you can see. A fixed elevation is typically something that's below the pile that's flat that you just measure up from. So which one is more accurate and consistent? We really want the repeatability in order to be able to reconcile our inventories. So if you guess the natural grade, that would be correct. It's a lot easier to be repeatable and accurate when you're using the natural grade, though there are situations where a fixed base could work. So as you can see in this example, if your pile shrinks and you've used a base elevation that's below the natural grade, you're going to automatically lose material. So that's going to create a lot of variation in your inventories, which is not something that is very helpful and that you want to see, and definitely not what your accountants want to see. So using a natural grade, as the pile gets smaller, you're still just measuring from the toe up, and you have a more accurate and repeatable measure of your inventories. The next thing that I want to talk about, now that we have that base understanding of how to measure stockpiles from the toe of the pile up, is the idea of becoming volume-minded. So it's really difficult to think about a pile in terms of tons, because all piles have different densities. And one of the things that we try to encourage our clients to do is to stop thinking about tonnage, even though that's the most important thing for most of you, and this is how much we actually have on our books. But if you can start thinking about it in terms of volume and looking at a pile and saying, okay, this one looks the same as that one. I know this one is 60,000 cubic yards, so this next one must also be that. It really helps you get a better understanding of your inventory, and so you can start to manage it better by having that volume-minded approach. Density differences make it difficult to manage inventory based on tonnage. And I know density is a big issue for you guys, and we'll be happy to answer some questions along those lines. Unfortunately, most of the technology that we're using today just really can't address the density question. So that's another reason to focus on volumes and then think through for yourself and your company what makes sense on a density perspective. The last piece is, and kind of the understanding your inventory, is good housekeeping. So one thing that can help in the reconciliation process is what we like to call good housekeeping. If you've got three piles of the same material spread out over your plant, you're probably going to lose material in each of those three piles, because we all know that whatever is in the pile, you're not going to recover all of that. There is some loss throughout the process. So if you can consolidate all of the same type of material and keep your plant clean and organized, you tend to lose less material, and that really helps with reconciling your inventories. Okay, so that's kind of just wanted to do a brief overview for you guys to get an understanding of how we think about inventory measurement and help give you some tips for thinking about your own operation. I'm going to move on to talking about technology, which is what I think most of you are excited to learn about. I'm going to start with a comparison of some of the technologies we can use today. One that I don't have up here that I'm sure a lot of you use is the wheel and tape and kind of the guesstimation. That is definitely the least accurate of the technologies that we can be using, but is frequently used and is good because it's cheap. You can do it yourself, and people get really good at guessing. I've been impressed. But we're going to start with GPS surveying. So this is your surveyor who comes out with a GPS pole, walks around on the piles, takes points throughout the plant, and gives you a result in, sometimes a couple weeks. So the accuracy on this is typically low compared to everything else, because if I take a point here and then walk 10 feet over there and take another point, I've missed a lot of the detail of the pile. And so while each individual point has a ton of accuracy, on the whole, you're missing a lot. And will often overstate your inventory because you might miss big holes and things like that. The reporting, typically your surveyor is going to take a couple weeks to get back to you. Cost, though, is typically fairly low for that. And you don't have to do anything, right? It's a complete outside party that's going to come in and measure it for you. So that's really beneficial to some of you. The next is that I'm going to talk about is aerial photogrammetry. So this is actually the planes flying over and using photogrammetry, which we'll also see used for drone data, to map your piles and give you volumes. Aerial photogrammetry from a plane is also lower accuracy. Usually it's about plus or minus a foot in terms of accuracy. So they typically have pretty slow reporting times. And if you're only flying one plant, the cost is going to be pretty high. If you have a number of plants in a small area, you can often spread those costs over a number of sites, and that will enable it to be pretty cost effective. Again, here you have low operator involvement, so there's not much for you to do. They fly the plane over your operation and give you the results. Terrestrial LiDAR is one of the techniques that we use, and it's definitely the highest accuracy that you can get. We say our mobile LiDAR is in absolute accuracy is plus or minus 4 inches, but we're usually closer to 2. And if you're talking about relative accuracy, it's sub inch. So very, very accurate technology. You can drive it around, actually come up with the data on site, and you can even give a result the day of if you need to. Cost is moderate because it is higher accuracy, and you're still mobilizing a person out to the site. But once again, you don't have to be involved in it. So that's beneficial to a lot of people. The last one is drone solutions. And here, we'll go into more on this. There are a ton of different options. The accuracy is generally pretty good. You can also get fast reporting, usually next day. And costs and operator involvement vary significantly based on the solution that you choose. So you can do everything from having a complete third party come in and fly it themselves and then give you the results. And that's going to be a higher cost because you're still mobilizing that person out to the site. And all the way to you have your own drone and you buy your own software and do it all yourself, which that can be pretty low cost, but high involvement on your side. So that's kind of the overview of all the different technologies that are available for measuring stockpiles. I'm going to start with LiDAR as an option. This is a picture of one of the units that we use. We mount it on a truck. You drive around. It collects 36,000 data points a second. So you're really capturing in great detail all of the information about the piles. It's survey-grade GPS equipment. We set up a base station. It's communicating with it, so it knows exactly where every point is in space as you're driving around. It's mapped to basically the exact location on the Earth that it's supposed to be. And benefit of this is you don't need those aerial panels to fly versus aerial companies. But you do still set up control points and can tie into local grids if that's something that is important to you. And that's what really allows us to layer data on top of each other and be able to track changes over time. I'm going to compare a couple different pieces of technology and what their data looks like. So the top picture there is aerial photogrammetry. And you can see, hopefully, that I'm not sure how it's coming out on there, but you can see that it has good coverage. You can see the whole area. This is, in particular, a landfill. And the same thing below with the laser scanner. However, there's significantly more points with the laser scanner. And they're also more accurate points. So that's just an example of why the laser scanning is more accurate than the aerial, both the point density and the actual accuracy of the specific points. This is an example of GPS ground survey versus the laser scanner. So in the top picture, you see all those little orange dots, and those are the points that were taken by the GPS, by the ground surveyor. So compare that to the green, which is all the data that was captured by the lasers. You have a lot more data coming in with the lasers, and that would be similar to what you would have with the drone. Very high data coverage and point density. And you don't miss areas. So with a ground surveyor, he might not be able to walk in a specific area. It's too dangerous. Can't get up on top of a really tall pile. Whereas with a drone, and usually with a laser as well, you're able to capture the tops of piles so you don't miss areas and therefore miss material. So what everyone is really here to talk about and excited about is drones, the latest, greatest, coolest technology to hit this industry and a lot of industries, I think, in a long time. Drones have the potential to revolutionize the way you collect data on your site, the way we collect data, and the way that you can work and run your operation based on the amount of data that you can now easily collect and use. It makes data collection very accessible to everybody. There's a couple main areas that I'm going to focus on here to help you understand what to evaluate as you're evaluating your drone solution. So the first is accuracy. There is relative accuracy, and then there is absolute accuracy. And understanding which you need is important to choosing which drone solution is going to make sense for you. So relative accuracy has to do with scale, shape, and size of the dimensions the data represents. So is your pile scaled correctly, or is it 20 feet too tall? If you have relative accuracy, you're going to be scaled pretty much correctly. And the geotagging of images that drones collect will, with good photogrammetry software, will generally give you pretty good relative accuracy. Absolute accuracy is the question of where is the location actually in space and on the Earth, and is it in the correct location? So this is important if you want to be able to track changes over time. So if you want to be able to layer data on top of old data and continually see how things have progressed and changed, you need the absolute accuracy because you need to be able to tie all those pieces together and know that they're lining up in the correct space. So when you're considering what drone solution you want, you need to think about your operation and whether it makes sense, whether all you need is the relative accuracy, or if, depending on what your situation is, it might be something that you really need absolute accuracy for. And to have absolute accuracy, you need to have control points. So that means you come in with a GPS, you find the exact point, you set a pin there, and then you'll put a big X on that spot when you fly your drone, or a board that's painted, so that when all the pictures get stitched together, you'll be able to find that point and nail it down and say, I know this is X point. And so that is how you get the absolute accuracy that you need in order to be able to layer data and compare it over time. So the second question about drones is, what kind should I buy? You have a variety of drones at many different price points. You have fixed wings and you have copters. You have everything from a few thousand dollars to a few hundred thousand dollars. So what's the best one for you to invest in? And a couple things to consider on this. If you had a really big area, then a fixed wing is probably a good solution for you. But for most of you in this room, copters are probably going to be the right choice because you have smaller areas. You don't need to be flying for hours at a time. You can really use a copter to get all of the data that you need. And in terms of price points, we've flown a number of different drones. We don't actually manufacture them, so we've done a lot of testing of different types of drones. And we found that you can get really good results without spending a whole bunch of money. And so that was something that was, I think, surprising to us initially, but is very exciting for both us and our clients. So finally, what is the solution that makes sense for you? There's three popular models right now. One is to have a third-party just service provider come in. And you see a lot of surveyors these days. We actually do some of this as well as a third-party provider. Just I'll come in, I'll fly your site, I'll process your data and give you the results, which is a very good option. And if you really want that complete third-party data collection and processing, if that's important to you or to your accountants, that could be a good solution for you. It's typically not going to be a solution that is has a whole lot of cost savings, because you're still mobilizing a person out to your site to measure the inventory. So it would be similarly priced probably to a surveyor or anybody that's coming out to your site to do that measurement. Another option is to buy a drone or lease a drone from somebody and fly it yourself. You collect all the data and then you upload it. So you can upload it. One of the ways that we do it with our clients is they fly the drone and then they upload the data to us. We get notified, we will process the data, and then we'll notify you, okay, your results are available online, you can go in and you can download them or look at them online. Another process that is very popular and a number of companies are doing it is that you fly the data, it uploads to their site, and you go in and you actually calculate your own results. So you basically do the entire thing. Which one is right for you really depends on your operation and what makes sense for you. How involved do you want to be? Do you want to spend a lot of time doing this? Do you just want somebody else to come in and do it? Are you fine spending half an hour flying your drone, but that's all you want to do? And so you can spend half an hour once a month, but you don't want to spend all the time to do the processing. It really, you got to think about what makes sense for your specific operation and the time constraints that you have. And as I mentioned earlier, with the ground control, that you have to decide also what makes sense on an accuracy perspective. So that is kind of the overview of all of the different types of technology that we can use, and more specifics on the drones. I'm going to go through now a case study for one of our clients and talk about some of the drone solutions that we're providing there. So this is an aggregate producer in Mexico. Moves a lot of material. It's a port plant, so they're loading boats on a weekly basis. So lots and lots of material is being stockpiled and moved. So they need accurate measurements on a weekly basis. What was historically happening is the plant manager would be walking the piles and trying to figure out what he had and whether he had enough material for the boat that was coming in this week. And he would do that every week. So he'd spend half a day to a day trying to figure out what inventory he had. And so that's really time consuming, and it's dangerous for him to be walking around on piles all day. And it's also expensive and impractical to bring in a third party to do that on a weekly basis. It's just not cost effective. So the solution we came up with for this client is releasing them a drone, and they're doing weekly flights. He flies every Tuesday and takes him about 20 minutes to do each plant, each of his two plants, instead of the half day that it was taking him before. So huge cost and time savings for him. He uploads the data, we process it, and get him his results Wednesday or Thursday so that he can be ready for his meeting on Friday. We still are going in to do the LiDAR measurements twice a year. This particular client felt like it was really important for them to continue to have a completely unbiased third party doing the measurements. So even the data collection they felt like needed to be third party. So that's why we're coming in and continuing to do that, those LIDAR measurements for them. Additionally, we had historically been doing LIDAR, and we have all these permanent base models set up for them. So we're able to then just bring in the drone data on top of that and keep their inventories consistent over time. So just a couple examples of deliverables that you can get with drone data. This is a pretty typical one where you have the numbers of the piles that you have, the loops for the piles, and this is what you would see when you logged in to see your results. You would see this, and then there would be, which I don't have a picture of, but basically a list of your materials, the volume of your material, of those materials, any descriptions that you had, a spot for you to fill in your density, and then out pops the tonnage for you. So this is really gives you the ability to see your piles in a way that you haven't been able to do in the past, which clients are really, really like that. This is another way we can view it. Here you have different types of materials colored in different translucent colors. Kind of helps the piles stick out a little bit more instead of just having the loops drawn around them. So there's a lot of different things that you can do with the data, especially if you're using that absolute accuracy and being able to layer data over time. This is just a really cool image of, this is actually the point cloud. So it gives you just a sense of the detail that you can get from drone data and the images. You can see all of the sand in that pile. It's kind of, it's crazy how accurate it is and how much detail you can actually get. This is an example of what we can do with the accuracy and the change detection. So this is, in this picture, you see the piles, and then the colors are the changes from the week before. So it gives you a sense of how much is moving. The dark blue is what kind of is adding, so from kind of that light green to light blue or dark blue, that's material that has all been added in the last week, and the yellows and oranges and pinks are material that has been taken out in the last week. So you can really get a sense of, for this particular client, they're able to see from week to week, okay, I really know where all of my material has gone. And I can layer that on top of each other to say, okay, this is where I added a whole bunch. This is where I subtracted material. This is just another example of that. Just kind of another view. You can see it from the top-down view for the change detection. So as a result for this client, they've really improved their operational efficiencies. They have more accurate numbers on a weekly basis, which has enabled them to make better decisions and has kept their books in much better shape. They also have been able to spend, this particular plant manager has been able to spend much more of his time on things that are more high value instead of always trying to be figuring out what is his inventory and spending a whole day trying to figure that out. He just gets the results to him, and then that enables him to make better decisions. There's also the improved safety. You're not walking around in piles. All you're doing is flying a drone, and it's much quicker and much safer. But the most important one is the confidence that this client has received by being able to know their results, what their inventories are on a weekly basis. He gave an example of when somebody said, I don't think we're going to have enough inventory to meet this demand. He went back, looked at his results, and said, no, I'm confident that I have enough material to fill the ship. And so we don't need to go try and get more material. I know we have enough. And that's the kind of confidence that he has never been able to have before. It's always been guessing and hoping that he had the right amount, because that's what he was doing on a weekly basis, was going around and kind of guessing and hoping that he was close on his inventories. Additionally, upper management for this company has been really happy with the confidence that they have now in those numbers. One, because their plant manager can say, yes, I'm sure, I know exactly how much I have, but also because when we're processing the data for them, they know that we're going to stick to our guns. We've got these, we can track it over time, and we can show them the data and say, no, this is how much you actually do have on your site. And with a lot of other providers in this space, we have, okay, well, maybe we can change this or change that to make it more helpful for you as the client. But that's not actually helping the client if they don't actually have the material that they're requesting. So it's been really helpful for this particular client to have that confidence in the numbers that they're being provided. So to wrap up on drones, it's easy to collect data now. You have so many options, and it's very easy to go fly a drone and collect the data. If you have the data, you can manage your inventory much better. And that will allow you, hopefully, to make better decisions. If you do, though, need to pick the solution that is right for you. So there is no one-size-fits-all solution for drones. There are many different options, and you need to think about which makes the most sense for you. But when you find that solution that makes sense for you, you have confidence in your inventory management, and that enables you to be more efficient and more confident in your decisions. So, briefly going to wrap up and spend some time with questions. I think you guys, I know we had a lot of questions last night, so hopefully you guys will make this a little bit more of a discussion, and we can address some of the issues that are very specific to you guys. But first, just want to talk about the financial impact of understanding your inventories. As we kind of showed with the case study, you can improve your business through a better understanding of your operation. And if you know how much you have on the ground, how much you have to sell, that's going to help you make better business decisions. And drones really allow you to measure your inventory on a more frequent basis. So they make it easier for you to have that data. It's very accessible now. And so it's easy to get accurate and timely measurements, which will help you make those decisions better. You have fewer book adjustments when you're measuring accurately and in a timely manner, as opposed to getting to the end of the year and not really knowing what you have, which I think happens to a lot of our clients. Additionally, just being able to visualize the data with the drones in particular is we found clients really enjoy and is really useful for them. You can see leakage, you can see waste, kind of where it's going, and be able to track that. And hopefully by knowing what you have, you're going to miss fewer sales opportunities and be able to take advantage of the knowledge that you have. So in conclusion, understanding your inventory is key to managing it. That's why we started with understanding how to manage your inventory. And when it's managed better, it's easier to measure. And when you know what you have, you can make better decisions. There's so many technologies available. Everything from the GPS that we talked about to the many drone solutions. So you need to choose which makes the most sense for your operation. And as we talked about, that can involve accuracy, that can involve how much work you want to do, and whether you need a completely outside third party. Finally, using the technology for your site will give you accurate inventory numbers and confidence in the decisions to make made based on those numbers. So better information, better business performance. I'm going to invite Dustin up. He has a lot of technical expertise and has worked in our software a lot. So he's going to help answer questions, but we'd love to talk to you guys about how drones could, or any technology, can help you manage your inventory better. Yeah.
My question was about the trade-off between the altitude that you fly at and the accuracy or the time it takes. And with these things becoming so increasing in volume and probably going to be eventually like cell phones, how concerned are you about the interaction with the FAA and regulation of it? How high you can fly?
Did you want to? Yeah. So kind of a two-part question. One, you were wanting to look into the relationship between flying high as opposed to flying low and how that impacts accuracy.
Right.
And then also flight time.
Yeah, or whatever other factors would be relevant.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we'll address that first. So the higher you fly, the lower the resolution of the photo, so the lower the accuracy on the data side. But the better the creation of the orthophoto. And so it really depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a photo, the higher you fly, the better looking the photo will be because you're taking fewer photos and stitching them together. So the lower you fly, you're taking more photos. And so if you're doing like a high altitude flyover, which traditionally is what most people are used to seeing, that may only have 10, 15 photos, 5 photos that are being stitched together. So it's really crisp, it's really clear. If you fly low, you may have several hundred photos that you're taking and stitching together. So the ortho photo doesn't look as smooth as a higher flight. But the accuracy, the better the resolution, the better the accuracy. So if you're flying lower, you can get better data from it. But the data that you're going to see, the ceiling that we can fly is 400 feet. So the difference between flying at 400 feet, 100 foot, really not going to make a significant impact on the accuracy. But if you're doing a high altitude flight at 5,000 feet, then you see some accuracy difference between that and 400 feet. In terms of the regulation, I mean, Lauren, you want to answer
sure.
that?
So the FAA rules changed in August. Prior to August, you had to have an exemption. You had to have a pilot to fly the drone. You could only fly 400 feet, et cetera. In August, they've changed it. So you still have that 400-foot ceiling and the line of sight that you have to keep the drone within, but all you have to do is take a test. So there's a number of trainings that you can go through that are fairly cheap, a couple hundred bucks, to study for the test. All you do is take the test, and then you're certified to fly the drones, as long as you're not within 5 miles of the airport. There are variances that you can get if you are close to an airport. I'm not completely sure the exact process for those right now, but it's definitely something that you can do if you are right next to an airport.
Yeah, we can get you data as quick as same day. It just depends on, I mean, if you needed it. And so if that was something that was important to you and you could fly in the morning and get the data to us, and we had good upload speeds on your end to where you can get the photos to us quickly enough, we could turn it around same day. Certainly next day is easy. But if you can get the data up to us quickly enough, we could do same day.
Yeah,
with us it is, yeah. So, but because we're not a drone manufacturer, you can use any hardware you want. And so, I mean, if you guys had a specific drone that you wanted to go out and buy, we're happy to take the data from that drone and even help you create a process and find flight planning software for your specific drone that'll help you develop your own flight plans. All we care about is getting the data and then processing it for you. So as long as you get us data that that's usable and accurate, then we'll use it. So we offer lease with 2 to 3 different drone models. And then if you, like I said, if you already have your drone, we're happy to work with you with the existing drone that you have.
We had a question come up last night about measuring finished goods inventory or bag material. And I knew you didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this question.
No, that's fine.
But can you offer what you may be able to provide on that?
Yeah, so the question was posed to us, can we measure acres of palleted inventory? And we've never done it before, and so the question was, it's an interesting question, but I think in short, the answer is, yeah, we can. The only challenge I really see with doing the measuring the pallets is determining what type of material is in the pallet. And so if you guys could give us, if we took an aerial photo and we gridded it out, and you guys or the guy, if we're there flying it, the guy on the ground can say, hey, in this area here, you know, this is the type of material we have on the pallet, and this gridded area over here, this is the inventory we have. And we could do that a number of ways. We can send you the ortho photo and say, hey, just circle the areas where you think it's one specific type of material. And then we can go through, because we can generate a essentially like a DTM, like a digital terrain model. Of that, we can go in the software and actually like tag each specific pallet and count it and number it, and then send you a report back that actually numbers and shows you where all your pallets are and how many you have and what specific type of material you have. And we haven't done it, so we'd actually love to do a case study on it. So if anyone has an area that they want to take a look at, we'd be happy to come out and do it and you know, see what kind of product we could deliver on it. I think you had a question.
What is the magic of the camera? I mean, what if you're looking at drone, it's kind of loosely, and you know, there's all kinds of GoPro cameras, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
the measuring is actually done in a software. The camera does matter. It's not, as long as you have a quality camera. Our experience has been we haven't seen any significant changes to the data using one different type of camera over the other. We cannot use a GoPro, at least I say we can't. Our experience has been the data is less accurate using like a GoPro or anything that has a fisheye lens on it. It tends to distort the data and create less accurate topography. But, I mean, in general, I think we're just using, I think the DJI is just using a $400 or $500 Canon point-and-shoot camera. And we get the same quality data out of that we're getting out of cameras that are $3,000, $4,000, $5,000.
What do you typically see in terms of one-time inventory adjustment when you move from a wheel to a more accurate method like this?
That's a really good question. And it's all over the map. It really depends on how good the person was doing the wheel and tape. But I would say typically anywhere 10 to 25%. I've seen as much as, depending on the operation, I've seen it be off, you know, 80, 90, like crazy numbers that don't even make sense. Like 90% people that were overstating their inventory. But I don't think that was a technology problem. I think people were just overstating their inventory. So. But yeah, based on technology, I would say 10 to 20, 25%. Yeah. Yeah.
Is anyone using infrared attachments or on the drone to heat map?
They are. I was going to bring that up when you mentioned the camera. Yeah, they are, and we're doing that. We do it. We're currently testing that on landfills where they're trying to determine where they're having gas leakage. Obviously you have a lot of neighbors complaining, and specifically where we're looking at testing is in California. There are a lot of regulatory issues there, and so yes, you can.
So you can track a heat signature to
you can
what accuracy of
that I can't speak to yet, because we're running a case study on it now. And so anyone who has any interest in it, if you want to email us, you can get our contact info, and as we finish the case study in California, then we can provide you the results of the study. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you speak to the usability of the software? Do you sell the software, license it? How does that work?
Yeah, so for us, we're currently offering the service. And so we do the software. We do all the software work on the back end. So that's something that we provide to you guys. So you wouldn't have to, with Firmatech, you wouldn't go into the software. You wouldn't use the software. You would upload the photos to us, and then we have the software on our end. We would do all the processing for you and generate a report. If you had an interest in the data itself and you actually wanted the topography to use for some sort of planning or do the volumetrics on your own, then we can talk about that. There's 50 different options or more on different types of software you can use, both on the photo processing side and then on the 3D planning side as well. And so, I mean, afterwards, if you want to come talk, I can talk you through that. And if it's something you're looking at wanting to do on your own, then I can give you some recommendations on that.
You want to talk about the usability for the drone?
For the drone, the flight planning software? Yeah, so, and I may, if I misunderstood your question, I apologize. But on the flight planning software, on the front end, on actually flying the drone, it's incredibly easy. I had my kids trained on the drone within a handful of hours. We haven't had any issues getting plant managers. It's actually probably easier to train my kids than some of the plant managers that we work with. But we haven't had any issues with the plant managers either. I mean, we've got guys that are, you know, especially in the, we do a lot of work in the aggregate mining industry, and they're resistant to change, and a lot of those guys are resistant to new technologies. But it's so dang easy to use. You can pull out an iPad, any sort of tablet. You go into Google Earth and you essentially just draw a polygon around the area that you want to fly. It auto-generates the flight plan for you because it's going to do a crisscross pattern north, south, east, and west to get the 3D data. And then you literally just watch the thing take off. It goes, it flies its plan. You're just observing it as it's flying. You has a come home feature and all these, you know, other features that if you, I don't know, if a flock of birds flew by or I don't know why you would want it to come home. The weather changed, you can tell it to come home. But other than that, it's really pretty well automated and foolproof.
What's the cost of the drone?
Yeah, so yeah, a basic quadcopter lease, I mean, you're looking at as little as $3,000 a year to lease the drone, and then it's just a matter of what do you want to do with that. We don't have, like Lauren was saying, we don't have a one-size-fits-all, just a set price that says, hey, here's the price, and that's the price for everyone. It's really specific to you and what your goals are. The site that we were showing you in Mexico where they want to fly it every week, that's a different cost than, say, a guy that says, hey, we just want the drone, we want to take pictures, and we want to fly our inventory once a year. Or we have 100 operations and we're wanting to fly them once a week. And so it's really specific to you. But the drone lease itself is really inexpensive. It's $3,000. And if you guys want to go out and buy your own drone, you can get a drone, tablet, everything you need for less than that. So again, really dependent upon you and what you want to accomplish. And we're happy to talk through that with each individual operation and customize a plan that meets your needs, whether they're needs based on cost or needs based on accuracy or frequency.
Do you have multiple plants? Just buying one drone and shipping it over?
You can. Yeah, again, you can. It depends on what you want to put up with. And so if for that company, if the operations are close together, it's really easy to share a drone. We're actually doing one right now with a company that's got four sites, and they're all in different states across the country. And they want to start out with sharing a drone, and then they're going to buy a drone for each individual site. And so, yeah, if you want to ship it and that's something that you feel like doing and are, you know, up for that, then, yeah, you can do that. You take it to, so you put it onto your computer, you go to a web portal, and then you just upload it via the web portal. And whenever you go to the web portal, there's a handful of questions that it's going to ask, and you just check the boxes, like, hey, here's what I want to do with the data. It can pre-check. I mean, if it's just inventory and that's all you're ever going to do, then you'll just check inventory, upload the photos to us, and that's it. Correct. No, because once we have the data, we're in complete control of the data. You guys have no say over the data. There are some, there's a handful of companies out there that'll allow you to process it yourself. Again, that's not our model. So we have complete control over the data once you give it to us. So there's no way you can manipulate it at all. I mean, there's nothing you could do because the data collection side is what it is. I mean, if that data is going to come in, regardless, there's no way for you to have any sort of impact over the photos themselves.
Does the lease cover the insurance when it crashes?
It does.
And we'll send you a new one.
Yeah.
What environmental conditions affect when and how you fly?
Yeah, what we've seen is the copter's actually more stable than the fixed wings in high winds. I don't remember what the exact specs on it are. I think it's like 28 miles per hour. You don't want to fly in wind over 28. you don't even really want to get close to that because the stability of the drone starts to take blurry photos. And so we typically want to fly 20, 21, 22 miles per hour max. Cloud cover is fine. You know, light rain, maybe. I mean, it's you're pretty flexible.
There's definitely better times of day to fly as well, depending on what your material looks like and where the sun is.
Yep.
And so we have a bunch of best practices that we give to all our clients. Here's the best times to fly. Here's when you shouldn't fly in weather. And
as we get familiar with your operations, we may give you feedback. Like we found at the site in Mexico, if they fly at noon because the material is so light, there's no shadows. And so the software had a hard time modeling that specific site, and so we had them either fly in the morning or in the afternoon. But a lot of times it's site specific on stuff like that.
Yeah, I wanted to mention Lauren did make the effort to come out to a facility with me, but it was not a very good time of the year with a particular facility, and I appreciate that effort. But I think as you get more into our industry, maybe you can solve some of those.
Yep, definitely.
The differences between I haven't run into to too many other drone providers that are doing the service on the back end that we do. For us, it's our experience. I mean, this is our bread and butter. It's what we do. We've been doing it for over 20 years in the aggregate mining industry, where obviously stockpiling is big for them. We work with 13 of the top 15 ag producers in the country. We're in, I think, 46 states now, working in three other countries. The volumetrics, I mean, this is our area. This is our area of expertise. And so I would, and if you guys have interest in that and you start doing a comparison, I'll put you in touch with a handful of referrals that can vouch for what it looks like to work with us.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that we do that's a little different is we'll actually provide webinars and do all sorts of work with you if you have questions on your inventories. Hey, I thought I had this much. Why does my report say I only have, thought I had X, my report says I have Y. Can you help me figure out why that is? So we'll bring in the data, do webinars with you so we can actually, so our experienced professionals can actually help you understand the data and why the number is the way that it is. So, unfortunately, none of these technologies can really deal with density, whether it be drones or lasers, or your wheel and tape. None of the volumetric technologies can account for the density. That's something that you guys have to decide on your own. We have a nuclear density gauge, and for some clients, we do actually measure densities for them on a quarterly basis. But that tends to be fairly expensive and time-consuming process. So I would say I don't know of a good solution to that problem. Yes, that would work, I believe.
Yeah.
Were you saying that the laser technology could possibly measure the heat in miles or something?
Not the laser. It would be, you would use a drone and you would just use an infrared camera on it. On the snow, we found it with the laser. The snow, you can't measure when there's snow cover. It won't model. With the drones, to be honest, we haven't done a ton of research on the snow. I know it can have a hard time modeling the snow as well. for the same reason that it has a hard time with modeling the really, really light stockpiles. And so for most of our clients, they're not measuring whenever there's a ton of snow cover. Two separate flights.
Can you speak to the cost of the back end when you actually send the calculated volumes back to everybody? Once we upload the information, what do you guys charge for the back end?
Again, it's so hard to say because it's very specific. If you, we do a site in the aggregate industry that has close to 250 stockpiles, and then we do sites that has. You know, they'll have a single pile or two piles. But, I mean, on average, if you were wanted to try to come up with a cost, I mean, you could assume maybe $400 per report just as a, like, some sort of baseline number. Yeah. Yes, it can. Yes. We're doing a whole lot of that now.
How much time? All right. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Thank you, guys.